one and all. Please turn with me to the book of Isaiah's prophecy, which we had earlier read. And let us read just three of the verses. Verses 4, 5, and 6, all together in unison. As we look into the mystery of our salvation, how could it be? Who saved us? How did he save us? And here is given to the prophet Isaiah a prophecy. Looking into the future, let us read and share with him this wonderful doctrine of our salvation. Verse 4 of Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 53, 4, 5, and 6, all together in unison. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. The iniquity of us all. We just read a most amazing prophecy. The year 1947. I was enrolled in the medical school called King Edward VII College of Medicine, the forerunner of the faculty of the university. And there, to my surprise, I found that its motto was Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 45. It says, let me read it with you. My brain is not as sharp as before, so I'm a little bit puzzled how to start. As you can see. All right. Now, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I could not understand how come a secular organization had this verse as its motto. Later on, as I look into the mystery of our salvation, how come we, the sons of men, have been made the sons of God? Do you know that is what the Lord has done for us? Amazing, isn't it? And here is the prophecy in this wonderful book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5, says, he, who is he? Oh, the Son of God, come as a suffering servant for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. With his stripes we are healed. Now this is contrary to all the doctrines and principles of medicine that I was going to learn. He's bruised and we are healed. How can it be? This is the mystery of salvation that we enjoy. Our dear friends, ponder and think. If you read this verse again quietly, God will speak to you. There was announced God's salvation plan. Do you know our wonderful God knew the end from the beginning? That is God, not man. Even from the time of the fall of man, God already had a plan, but this plan is announced here. Even from the time of Genesis, when man first fell into sin, God immediately announced his plan for our salvation. Did you know this? It is called the proto-evangelism. The first time God's plan was made known to man. Out of this verse, we all draw comfort and hope. What does it say? God the Creator, our Creator, says, I will put enmity between thee. Who is thee? Who is it? Who was God addressing? Satan, the serpent. And he spoke to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a prediction of Calvary. On Calvary's cross, that is the central doctrine of man's salvation. Anyone who does not accept and receive this is doomed to everlasting destruction. But the moment we look at the cross and see the Savior as your own Savior, you receive healing. Now it says the prophecy, it, what is it? The seed of woman is referred here as it shall bruise thy head. On the cross, Jesus broke the head, the vital part of the serpent, that is, Satan's head was crushed. And in the process, his heel was bruised. It is a figurative expression. On the cross, our Lord Jesus suffered the bruising, piercing of his hands and feet, bruised his heel. This is a prediction of Calvary, made 700 years before the event. How marvelous! And it applies to all of us here today. So this is God's salvation plan for man. God laid our sins on his own Son. This is the whole purpose of Jesus' birth. Why are we so excited about Christmas? Every end of the year, we gather in praise and worship to remember a man, God's only Son, born a baby like all of us. And yet he was the God-man. And on him, God would put all the sins of every creature on earth from the time of creation till the end of time. All their sins are put on none other than his Son. This is the crux of the gospel, the heart of the gospel, And you, believing, instantly receive new life, forgiveness of sins. So this is the doctrine of salvation. Jesus took our punishment, died on the cross, atoned for our sins. And what's the use of dying and being dead, buried and gone and rotted away? No, dear friends, to prove his divinity and to prove the efficacy of his death for you and me, he rose from the dead. This is gospel. This is the good news. Other than this, what good news can there be? So he rose. That is why every Lord's Day we greet this risen Savior. Do you know why we worship on the first day and not on the Sabbath day of the Jews? Do you know? In case you don't, I'm telling you now. Whereas the Seventh-day Adventists go back and observe the Jewish Sabbath, which is a Saturday. We observe Sunday, not for any reason except on that day our Lord Jesus appeared again and again, and the New Testament church met on that day to remember on this day my Savior who had died for me rose from the dead for me to give me hope. Now this is the salvation plan. And this is the healing by his stripes. Stripes is only a figurative term to include all his sufferings for each one of us. You say, how can it be one man dying for all humanity? Ah, this is the mystery of redemption. The mystery that his life, the infinite life, God life, one life, is like a open-ended check. You put there as many circles as you like after the one. Do you understand this? As many as there are human beings, add another zero, 10 times more. It keeps on increasing. His life is infinite. Infinite. And so one man, the Christ, God-man, dies for us. By his stripes, we are healed. By his death, we receive life. This is gospel. And this is the salvation plan that we talk about. Now, what was foretold in the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, by the way, you please make a note of this. When you go home, read chapter 2 of Ephesians. Then you read it saying, once we were dead in sins and we walked with the world in the lust of the flesh. How sad it is if a Christian still goes back to the world and live like the world. I say, dear friends, never do it. Never follow the world anymore. We are saved unto eternity. And therefore, we must never walk with the world. Once we were dead in sins, walking with the world, in the lust of the flesh, doing what comes naturally. As that song says, I don't know whether they still sing it, but during my college days, all the undergraduates will sing with gusto, doing what comes naturally. Whatever you feel, you do it. This is children of wrath. but God in love. When you look to Him, put all your faith in Him, Lord Jesus, my Savior. You die for me, I believe it, I accept it. Instantly, you are quickened. What is the meaning of quickened? This is an old English word to say, you were dead, but God gives you new life. A new life in Christ, you are quickened. And all that is a favor freely bestowed upon you and me. The moment you look at the Savior on the cross and say, I trust in you, Lord Jesus. That moment of expression of your faith and trust in Jesus, you are saved. He quickened you by His grace. This is the gift of God. All this was foretold in Isaiah 53, fulfilled in Ephesians 2. Now is the exception to this wonderful rule, wonderful offer of salvation. You know, that offer is to whosoever will. You may be born a Buddhist or whatever it is. When you look to Jesus with faith and say, Lord, save me, you are saved. That is the simplicity of God's salvation and the enormity of His grace. You can never fathom it. You can never measure it. You cannot weigh it, but you know it and you can receive it. In case there is anyone here in this audience who has never done it before, do it now. Do it what? Receive the healing. Our Lord heals all. Everyone who seeks Him is healed. Now this is talking of the days when Jesus ministered in the land of Palestine, the land that is under dispute today. When our Lord lived there for just over 3 years, He healed all who came to Him. No one who ever came and sought to be healed, whether it was blindness, deafness, leprosy, you know, we do not have leprosy today because Singapore is so advanced in health that the disease has completely been controlled and disappeared. So you cannot see leprosy in Singapore, but lepers, you can still see lame people, whether it is born lame or due to accident, and women with issue of blood who have to see a gynecologist. When they come to Jesus, all they do is tell Him. But of course, women are too shy, and they quietly come and touch Jesus. And the moment they touch with faith, they are healed. Amazing. You have this record in the Gospels, and the Lord says, who touched me? I feel it. I know it. Somebody. And the woman came forth and said, I'm sorry, I tried to hide myself, but you know it. Palsy, the blind. Oh yes, you all understand what are the blind. And they came to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. 10 blind men. All of them were instantly healed. Palsy, lame one. Lame in the arm, lame in the leg, demon possessed. Living in the hills among the tombstones. Men who are possessed with devils come to Jesus instantly, all instantly, perfectly, and the best part is freely. Yes. You don't have to go to a mass meeting. Don't go to a signs and wonders meeting today. And they all go there, and the healers, so-called, pretend to heal. Why did Jesus heal? Why? What for? Was it to make money? Of course not. He never took a cent. Well, then why did he heal? He healed all diseases, and he even healed the dead. Three cases are well authenticated. The best known case is that of Lazarus. We all read it in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Yes, go home and read it. And if you are afraid of death, there is the promise, verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord Jesus. Yes. Why did he do all these things? Why? Why did he heal, including the dead? One reason, only one, to prove his deity, to prove that he was the author of life, the authority of life, the one who had power over life and death. And at a word from him, death leaves the scene and dead men come to life. This is just to repeat. By faith in Christ crucified, resurrected, all our sins are freely forgiven, for he took our punishment. And this is the meaning of that promise. By his stripes we are healed. Out of this promise, the charismatics made capital. Jesus, the Messiah, took our punishment. Now we are talking, what is the meaning of healing? What are we talking about? We're not talking about healing the body. Says you have a tumor, and it comes and touches you, and the tumor disappears. Or you have blindness, and it heals you. No, we're not talking of those things. This is the just for the unjust. He dies for you to bear your griefs, carry your sorrows. He is wounded and bruised for our sins. It was a spiritual battle. We all suffer from death, which is a spiritual disease. Do you know that? Why do we have to die? Because we have offended God's law. That's all. So, with his stripes, we are healed. This is where the charismatics go wrong. And they apply it and say, it says here, with his stripes, you are healed. So we will give you the healing. So they declare themselves to be gifted healers. Now, let's talk of what is biblical healing. Biblical healing I've divided into three parts. Number one, once we were dead in sins and trespasses, now by faith in Jesus, he gives us new life. Whereas the sins we have all committed cause us to be dead in sins. When we come to Jesus, he takes away that death, gives you new life. He quickens. By God's mercy and love, what's the difference? Mercy is not to punish us when we deserve to be punished. That's mercy. love and grace is to show you favor which you never deserved. That's the difference. The second part of biblical healing, as expressed in the Word of God in Ephesians, that in time past, before you received the Savior, you were Gentiles. It doesn't mean that you changed your race, you know. Gentiles is a general name for all unbelievers. Those who are outside of Jesus Christ are all Gentiles, referred to as Gentiles. Aliens, enemies, strangers, no hope. Now, having believed and received God's salvation grace, by His stripes, you are healed. Now you are healed in Christ. You become citizens, saints of the household of God. Every week we come here once a week on the Lord's Day, to worship and to serve the risen Savior. As what? Members of His household, the household of God. Where do you find all this? Look up Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 19. Make a note of it. Ephesians 2, verses 19, 11 to 19. Now, the final chapter of healing, put here number 3, is when Jesus returns. Do you know that believing in Jesus doesn't end here? There is a day coming when the Lord Jesus returns. Then it will show to all the world and prove to all the world there is a difference. All those who believe in Jesus will be suddenly changed. The dead in Christ, who are in Christ, believers who have died, they will all be resurrected. That we who are here, who are believers, not if you don't believe, then it will not come to you. Please understand, I'm telling you the truth very simply. If you're a believer and sitting here, if suddenly the Lord should come, you'll be changed, transformed. Who says so? Is the Word of God say so? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. Go home and read it. Then what happens? You're taken to heaven and you return to earth again. Then Revelation chapter 20 says, we shall reign on this earth. Is not believing for nothing, but there is a reward coming. All who believe in Jesus will be given that wonderful resurrection life. And then you go to heaven, return to earth with the Lord Jesus, and reign with Him. How long? 1,000 years. Now this is not fantasy, but this is out of God's Word. And God's Word is true and infallible, inerrant, does not make mistake and cannot make mistake. So we shall eventually, after the 1,000 years, inherit the new heaven and the new earth. That is in store for you. You don't have to buy it or prepare money to bid for it. No, it is beyond price, given to you and me free of charge. No more death because of the healing. By His stripes we are healed. What is the healing about? No more death. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more parting. Oh, the most painful thing on earth is parting. Do you know that? You'd say, I don't care. you will care. Yes, when husband and wife have to separate because of death, it is very, very painful. Or father and son, or mother and daughter, or friend and friend, there is pain of separation. In that day, because of biblical healing, there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more parting. Now, a word of warning. The truth is not complete until I tell you the other side of the coin, as it were. Jesus warned, you people, don't think everybody who claims to be Christian will be acknowledged to be Christian. Please understand. There are many churches, so-called, many Christians, so-called, many evangelists, so-called, people who advertise signs and wonders meeting, come to this convention and everything will be healed, diseases will be healed, is the greatest bluff today. Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 24, Jesus says, don't be so gullible. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. They can claim. You can claim to be a faith healer, and there are many floating around. Today it's quite prominent in the newspapers. Yes, did you read City Harvest and other so-called charismatic churches? Jesus says there shall arise false Christs, false churches, false prophets, showing great signs and wonders. This is how they advertise themselves. Signs and wonders. Oh, wonderful. We had a dream last night. We dreamt of heaven and hell. All kinds of fantastic ideas in their head. Great signs and wonders movement. They deceive the very elect, and some true Christians go and even get deceived by them. Who says so? Who says so? Our Lord Jesus says so. He warns us, don't you believe everyone who claims. Now, there are so many people who claim to be signs and wonders workers. Dr. Peter Masters, who has preached here before, many years ago, has written a book called The Healing Epidemic. It's a play on the words. Why? Well, epidemic is a disease that spreads and many people get it. Now many people are caught in this healing epidemic. They all go to this signs and wonders meeting and the thing is wonderful. And they are deceived by charismatic charlatans. What is a charlatan? What is a charlatan? What is it? If you would like to give one name for it, it's bluff. Deceivers. They just keep on telling themselves until they all believe. Ever heard of people who say, hey, we got the gift of tongues. Do you have the gift of tongues? How do you get the gift of tongues? Come, we will teach you how to learn to twist your tongue. Eventually, you break out in tongues. This is the kind of tongue they are talking about. And Jesus says, by these signs you know they are false. Gullible, trusting people empty their purses. I'm going to give you some names, for we must name names so that you know that we are not talking of fictitious people. All right, here they are. Ever heard of Oral Roberts? Think of a man who is called Oral. His name is called Oral. Means he's got a big mouth, you know. He can talk a lot of amazing things. And he says, I will build a hospital. Amazing. If he is a faith healer, why does he need a hospital? But people are so gullible, they poured out millions of dollars for him to build his hospital. Eventually, after over a dozen years, the hospital collapsed. Not physically, but bankrupt. That's the word to use. Then you understand what it is. Because the people go there, neither are the sicknesses healed by the so-called doctors, nor are the faith healers. You know, these people, John Wimber, for example, and the now very famous today is Benny Hinn. You know, it is estimated he gets an income of $200,000 a year. Wow. You might as well stop your work and become a faith healer. See, that's what he can get. And now there's a German fellow called Reinhard Bonnke. When he becomes bonkers, this is crazy. Now, all these are signs and wonders, people. I'm saying this because of the title of the sermon tonight. What is the meaning of we are healed by his death? What is healing? What are the signs and wonders of these people? Before this Oral Roberts, there were others called Jim Swaggart and Jimmy Baker. All those names are about 40, 50 years ago, you know. And when they investigated, they found they were so rich, so many motor cars, so many luxury villas, and their dogs live in air-conditioned kennels with gold-plated taps. Ever heard of? Ever seen? Now, these are the faith healers. And they have the group called Charismatics. What a charismatic! So, in case you have some other idea, let me explain to you very simply. Charisma is a Greek word which says God's grace. Something that you can have for free, that God gives to you. Charisma. You say those people have got this gift from God. What gift are we talking about? Oh, they can heal. Once you go there, my brother brought his son, went to a faith healer in Penang. Now I'm telling you the fact of a story. And he was healed. Oh, apparently. But he got worse and they had to fly him to Edinburgh, where he was operated on. So this is the kind of healing that the charismatics promise. They claim the gift of tongues, that they can make and they said that's tongues. This is supernatural, they say. I say, dear friends, do not be so gullible. Healing. Out of the healing comes the windfall of millions of dollars. By the way, Oral Roberts had to close his hospital, close his whole ministry, and he died. I mean, if he has the gift of life, why must he die? And they claim prophecies, and they claim miracles. Now, what is the answer to the present faith healing? I say very simple. They never heal organic disease. What is the organic disease? There are two diseases that we recognize as in the medical profession. Either your disease is organic or functional. Functional disease is where you cannot pinpoint a lesion. Headache, I get backache, I have insomnia. All those are functional diseases. Organic disease is growth, cancer, fracture, lameness, blindness, etc., which have a physical basis. Now, how do we differentiate these people who claim they can heal? Very simply, offer to take them, Oral Roberts and such people, John Wimber, Benny Hinn, come follow me, please. Let's go to Singapore General Hospital and I take you to the cancer ward. All the cancers there, please heal them. Or any other kind of disease. Answer is no. They say, no, we cannot go there. We can only go to our own stage. On the stage, we can perform our miracles, but we cannot follow you to the hospital. So that is the final. How do you differentiate them? Now you ask me one final question, and then that is the end of the talk. Why did Jesus heal? Why? Why did he heal? I gave you the answer, and I repeat it. He healed all diseases, and he raised the dead. But were the dead who were healed and raised to life, did they die again? Answer is yes. Lazarus eventually had to die. What the Lord Jesus did was for this earth. All the blind were healed, and the deaf and dumb could talk and hear and so on and so forth. But eventually they all died, all of them. Why did Jesus heal? To prove his deity. Come to him today for everlasting life. Amen. We close with a hymn, Near the Cross. The cross is the basis of our faith. That life eternal comes from the Savior who died on the cross. The hymn is 559. 559. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Let's arise to sing.